The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The American public should trust what the FBI is doing. So it's not that the FBI is targeting any one side or the other. What you see is the FBI going out on a day-in, day-out basis, objectively investigating allegations of law.
There you have it. Trust the FBI from Peter Strzok himself. If you are trying to uphold the credibility of the FBI, of course you would put out Peter Strzok to assure the American public to trust the FBI. The FBI is not targeting any one side or the other. They are just a bipartisan investigative agency. And that man, Peter Strzok, is out there telling you that's the truth. So you've got to believe it. I mean, of all the people they could have out there trying to vouch for the credibility of the FBI, we'll talk about Peter Strzok in a few minutes here. Well, welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston. I will be your guest host on today's show. Mr. Stephen Fleury is handling the orientation lecture for the Armstrong College student body right now. Another school year kicking off, so I'm sure he'll be plenty busy with classes over the coming months. If you have any comments for the show, you can email those to td@thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to request any of the literature on today's show, you can call our toll-free number, 866-930-3024. Again, that's 866-930-3024. You can listen to this show live, 11 a.m. on weekdays. You can watch the show at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. And of course, after the show, you can download those podcasts or watch the video at our website. Now, Peter Strzok, the American public should trust what the FBI is doing. That comment alone should, that just gives the whole game away, right? That's the man out there talking about or telling you, the American public, just trust us. Some highlights from Peter Strzok. This is a very high-ranking agent at the FBI. Some of his text messages, March 4th, 2016. This is from Peter Strzok's girlfriend, who both of them were cheating on their spouses. Lisa Page text Strzok, Trump is a loathsome human being, Peter Strzok, yet he may win. March 12th, Strzok and Page question how people are so incredibly ignorant to support Donald Trump. On May 4th, 2016, they talk about how Donald Trump won the Republican nomination, and now the pressure really starts to finish the Clinton investigation so we can dedicate all of our time and our resources to investigating Donald Trump. August 6, 2016, Donald Trump should go expletive, and Peter Strzok agrees, and expletive Donald Trump. Then Page, and maybe you're meant to stay where you are, Peter, because you're meant to protect the country from that menace, Donald Trump. Strzok replies, thanks, Lisa. It's absolutely true that we're both very fortunate, and of course, I'll try and approach it that way. I just know it will be tough at times. I can protect our country at many levels. Not sure if that helps. August 9th, 2016. Page to Peter Strzok. Trump's not ever going to become president, right? Right? Peter Strzok's response. No. No, he won't. We'll stop it. August 26, 2016. Peter Strzok. Just went to a Southern Virginia Walmart. I could smell the Trump support. And he's out there over the weekend saying it again. The American public should trust what the FBI is doing. Listen to him say it again.
The American public should trust what the FBI is doing.
And how rich is that to come from that man who held a lot of power and authority, who really helped destroy the credibility of the FBI to get out there and to assure you We're above reproach. Merrick Garland said it a couple days ago. The criticism of the FBI is unfounded. Here's a clip of CNN's Oliver Darcy defending the FBI as well. This is clip two.
They're aiming to malign the FBI. They're assaulting the character of the FBI. And I don't think that the fervor on the right really has shined through in news coverage. It just feels like we're almost ignoring or just hoping that you can ignore some of the rhetoric from these MAGA media stars. It's very extreme. It's extremist rhetoric. It's incendiary rhetoric, and it has consequences.
Brian Stelter always cracks me up. Very interesting. Darcy, it's extreme to criticize the FBI. It's extremist rhetoric. It's incendiary rhetoric, and it has consequences. I mean, these people, you look back in the 60s and 70s, and they hate agencies like the FBI, and now they look at these agencies like deities that could do no wrong, even though they're run by some of the most flawed individuals in society. Peter Strzok, case in point. Now, we need to, of course, follow up on more from the Trump raid last week. The big news, the FBI going on that fishing expedition into the president's house to make up a crime, to entrap him, to plant evidence. Who knows what? They won't tell us. They did, however, release the warrant that was signed by the judge who used to be Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer, explaining why they went into Mar-a-Lago. Now, there's very little information in this warrant, but there are some pretty revealing points as well. The big thing that would be helpful to get is the affidavit that would be used to justify the warrant. So that would be from this informant, they say, that is in the White House or in Mar-a-Lago, essentially explaining, hey, I've witnessed this and this. It occurred in this room. It has to do with this information. This is why we need to go in there. Now, the FBI, the DOJ, they're not releasing that. They're just releasing the warrant that the judge signed. And that came out on Friday. And an interesting point about that is President Trump, he has a copy of that warrant. Once the judge said it was okay to release it, President Trump released his version of it or his copy of it that they handed to him. And he doesn't redact any of the FBI agents' signatures on it. So you get to see who the agents actually involved in this raid. And then the FBI, they release their version of the warrant and they have those agents' names redacted. So obviously that's redundant because Trump beat them to it. And the name of those agents, they come up in filings for January 6 against January 6 defendants. There's even a rumor that one of the agents that signed them is actually someone who's being investigated by John Durham. So you have these agents that are probably, they know their feet are being held to the fire by Durham, and they're just lashing out against President Trump. A lot of people have made that point. What are they going in there to actually get? And is this more the FBI trying to protect itself from what Trump has on them? Politico says a search warrant viewed by Politico, they're bragging about how they got to it first, even though it was like 5 minutes before everyone else had it, by Politico reveals that the FBI is investigating Donald Trump for a potential violation of the Espionage Act and removed classified documents from the former president's Florida estate earlier this week. When you read Espionage Act, I mean, that's the dead giveaway. This is Barack Obama Marxist-style tactics to go after his political opponents. You know Obama is working there. This is a Salon article that Mr. Fleury quoted from a couple of weeks ago. This article is titled, "When Whistleblowers Go to Prison, We're on the Road to Tyranny." And this is a left-wing outlet here. And this author says, "Barack Obama weaponized the Espionage Act to prosecute those who provided classified information to the press." This author says the Obama White House, whose assault on civil liberties was worse than those of the Bush administration, used the 1917 Act designed to prosecute spies against eight people who leaked information to the media. He goes on and says, Obama used the Espionage Act against those who provided information to the media more than all previous administrations combined. He set a terrifying legal precedent, equating informing the public with spying for a hostile power. So, of course, that is now what they are going after Donald Trump for. And in this warrant, that's what's revealed, and it's incredibly vague what they're actually going after. Now, this is a fishing expedition. They're going in there just to dig around and see what they can find, or it might be even worse where they're going in to plant evidence because Trump's lawyers weren't allowed to view the raid. Now, they say that they have security camera footage, and we'll see what comes of that. But the Justice Department was caught, you know, flat-footed, and they're trying to now justify this. So they come out and say, well, we're actually going in there to look for nuclear secrets. Donald Trump took those right out of the White House, you know, in broad daylight in those white boxes. He carried them out on camera to Marine One on January 20th. He was smuggling the nuclear secrets out of the White House. And the DOJ comes back and says, oh, yeah, we're going after those things. So this warrant comes out, and everyone expects to see, where are the nuclear codes? And, well, actually, we confiscated some boxes. There were some photo binders, a letter from President Macron of France, something to do with a pardon for Roger Stone, and just nothing. But it's laughable to, and I would love to be a fly on the wall in these discussions at the DOJ where they talk about, okay, well, how are we going to feed this to the media? Because this does look bad. Even CNN commentators are saying it's hard to believe they would carry out a raid on the president's home because a violation of the Presidential Records Act. So Garland and all of them are like, we got to come up with something. All right, we're going after the nuclear documents. I mean, they can't even come up with an original story because that alone is what commentators were saying on CNN days before. Like, hey, they better be going after something really big here, or this just looks like just flat-out political persecution. Listen to this clip. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. This is a clip from CNN talking about it just days before they said they were going after the nuclear documents. This is clip 4.
But it's really hard to look at what happened yesterday as anything short of an overreach by the federal authorities and potential political persecution. And many are saying, and I've talked to a lot of folks up and down the political spectrum, doing such a raid to this magnitude, a search to this extreme, anything short of finding the nuclear codes at Mar-a-Lago is going to hugely backfire on the Biden administration.
It's as if Garland and his friends, you know, heard that clip and said, okay, yeah, we got to make it nuclear codes because if it's not that, oh, they're going to kill us. Then they release the warrant and there's nothing in there about nuclear codes. There's nothing even that would really obviously warrant anything like this. Now, Merrick Garland, he again had some whoppers in that press conference he gave on August 11th. We could go ahead and play clip number 3 here.
First, I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly. Where possible, it is standard practice to seek less intrusive means as an alternative to a search, and to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken.
Now let's key in on the last part of what he said there. And to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken. He said, we're going in there for very specific documents. According to their informant, they knew where those documents were, they knew what they were, and Donald Trump apparently was just refusing to hand them over, even though he had already given documents to the National Archives back in January. The FBI was there in June to look at the room where everything was. No one brought up anything about nuclear documents. And then what is that for the FBI to say, hey, he's got top secret nuclear codes in there? We just waited 18 months to finally go in there and take them. And then what's the conversation like when they brought that up to Donald Trump? You've got nuclear codes. You better hand them over. And Donald Trump just said, I can't do that. I need those because I'm building a nuclear arsenal at Mar-a-Lago. I've got submarines waiting off the coast. And at any minute now, there's going to be a nuclear strike. What is the scenario here that he's doing with those things where he says, I'm not handing them over? It's a joke. It is laughable if it weren't so serious what they're doing here. Now, Garland says, We're going in there, narrowly scope any search that is undertaken. We're not just going to go in there and go through Melania's closet. We're not going to go rifle through her shoes. Garland is a liar. He has been for a while. This is what the search warrant says. This is attachment A of the search warrant. It says, Mar-a-Lago is described as a mansion with approximately 58 bedrooms, 33 bathrooms on a 17-acre estate. The locations to be searched include the 45 office, all storage rooms, and all other rooms or areas within the premises used or available to be used by the President of the United States and his staff, and in which boxes or documents could be stored, including all structures or buildings on the estate. You're, in order to get this warrant, it's supposed to be based on an affidavit that would describe what they want and where it is. That's why they had the informant. Now, they're given free rein, and this is audacious for the FBI to apply for it, but why not? They're never held accountable for this sort of stuff anyway. For the judge to sign off on it, knowing that the FBI had been there in June and that the Trump people were working with the National Archives to hand those documents back over, still permitted them to go through rooms where boxes could be stored, including all structures or buildings on the estate. This was a raid. They don't even know what they're looking for. They're going in there, show me the man, and we'll show you the crime. And who knows now what's in those boxes that they took out. Attachment B of the search warrant is titled Property to be Seized. All physical documents and records constituting evidence, contraband, fruits of crime, or other items illegally possessed in violation of U.S. Code, blah, blah, blah. That's the Espionage Act. Subsection C says, confiscate or seize any government and or presidential records created between, now this is a real kicker, created between January 20th, 2017 and January 20th, 2021. So every document produced by Donald J. Trump while he was president of the United States, go in and get it. He shouldn't have it. That's a violation of the Presidential Records Act. Go in and get it. Never mind that he has the authority to declassify any of those things. We'll talk about Hillary Clinton here in a few minutes as well. I mean, essentially, this judge said, you've got free rein, Christopher Wray. You go into Donald Trump's house and you can search any room. You can search for whatever you want. There's nothing in this warrant that says, Judge Reinhardt, President Donald Trump smuggled nuclear, top secret nuclear codes out of the White House, and he's actually planning to sell them to Kim Jong-un. So it's very urgent that we get in there and go and get those documents. There's nothing like that in the warrant. It says, search any room you want, look for anything you want, spend as much time as you have to in there as you need. If they knew what they were going in for, it wouldn't have taken them 10 hours to go and get it. So obvious that this is political persecution. The optics were so bad, even the left is having a hard time defending it. And that warrant proves exactly where they went in there based on a Presidential Records Act violation. And Merrick Garland has the gall to say, criticism of the FBI is unfounded. Peter Strzok has the audacity to say the American public should trust what the FBI is doing. And then they're out there churning out propaganda like we talked about a few weeks ago, covering up the Hunter Biden scandal. Won't own up to that, actually pumping out disinformation to protect the Biden crime family. And now analysts are saying, well, we need to really see the affidavit to know, well, what triggered such a dramatic thing. What's the justification for going into the president's house like this? Travis Miller, he's a lawyer. He wrote, it is exceedingly reckless that Merrick Garland went through with these warrants despite the serious constitutional issues that would emerge if these statutes were used to prosecute Trump. Then there are the missing documents. We don't have the most important part of the warrant application, the affidavit in support prepared by an FBI agent. And I've mentioned that, obviously, why that part would be important. And I suspect even if you got that, it wouldn't answer most of these questions. You can see by the response that they don't have an excuse for doing this. They're going to look for a crime. Victor Davis Hanson wrote an article titled FBI Rest in Peace? He says the agency has become dangerous to Americans and an existential threat to their democracy and rule of law. The FBI should be dispersing its investigatory responsibilities to other government investigative agencies that have not yet lost the public's trust. Over the weekend, he appeared on Fox News and had a, this is a pretty lengthy soundbite, but he talks about where the United States is heading, and it sounds like America under attack. It sounds like what Mr. Flurry has been saying on the trumpet for decades, going back to at least 2006, 2007. This is Victor Davis Hanson on Fox News over the weekend, clip 5.
Well, I don't think we're a republic anymore. I would say that we're in a transition to a radical democracy. And by that, I mean that what anybody wants to do on any given day, if they have the power or the votes, they do it. So we don't respect immigration law. If people in the administration want to get rid of it and make the border open, they do it. If you want to have a warrant for a particular FBI operation, you can find a judge and you do it. So what I'm getting at, Mark, is if you have an agenda and you feel you have elected power, you don't respect any guardrails or prohibitions that that constitutional republics set up to prevent the abuse of power. So on any given day, this administration can do what they want. And that's how they operate. I mean, to use an ancient example, if they want to kill Socrates on Monday, they can do it and say it's legal. If they want to go to the island of Mytilene and butcher everybody on Tuesday, they can, and Wednesday they can change their mind. They don't want to do it. So I don't see that the Constitution that was as it was envisioned to prevent these hysterias, these outbreaks of craziness, and the founders knew that they would occur. I don't think that it's working right now to stop it. So we have a mass hysteria. I don't know what the cause was. Maybe George Floyd's aftermath, maybe the quarantine, maybe long-term takeovers of our major institutions, but we're in a revolutionary situation. So we've got on one hand the January 6th committee. It's kind of like the Committee of Public Safety in the French Revolution. It's out to destroy a particular person, Donald Trump. And I think Dick Cheney more or less made that clear when he made that commercial for his daughter, that she's not there to adjudicate in a disinterested fashion what happened, but to go after and destroy a political rival or political candidate. So, yeah, well, I think we're in a revolutionary period right now, and I don't know how long it's going to go on until we stop it and bring back constitutional guardrails and protocol.
Very sobering clip there. I don't think we're a republic anymore. We're in a transition to a radical democracy. Mass hysteria, a revolutionary situation. We're in a revolutionary period right now. Where have you heard quotes like that for years? Throughout the Obama administration, during the coup against Donald Trump from 2017 to 2021, Mr. Gerald Flurry in the May-June 2018 trumpet. This article is titled, Saving America from the Radical Left Temporarily. Had Hillary Clinton been elected, the destructive trends that unfolded during the Obama presidency would have continued unchecked, and they surely would have intensified. Many people, including me, believe it would have meant an end to our constitutional republic. This is what they've wanted all along. Put their political opposition in jail, punish them through the legal process, and now they're going after the top echelon there, Donald Trump and those around him. And they are just fearless. They are emboldened. And there are so few Republicans or anyone that will stand up to them. They don't want to, you know, pay the price of fighting. They just want that security. They want to be able to retire on their own and be left alone. They don't want to stand up to the radical left because they see what the radical left does to them. Maria Bartiromo had quite a few good interviews on Sunday. I'm sure Mr. Stephen Fleury will be playing those clips for you. They're talking about the people involved in this raid against Donald Trump being the same people that helped initiate the Russia hoax in 2015 and 2016, the same people involved in all of the Obama-era scandals. The country has been taken over from within. You can't explain it any other way. You can't explain it without America under attack. You know, these people do not have the best interest of the United States at heart. They are trying to bring this nation down any way they can, tear it apart any way they can, crush the economy. They're trying to incite violence. They know that these moves are provocative. They're trying to get people to lash out. And it's frightening because they have the power. They want that crisis to be there so that they have an excuse to have the gun grab, so they have an excuse to imprison their political opponents. You know if Donald Trump was in power right now, they would hate everything that's going on because they'd be the ones getting punished for it. And it sets a dangerous precedent, as the The Wall Street Journal was bringing out over the weekend. Why would Democrats behave this extremely in response to these things? Aren't they afraid of Republicans getting power and doing the same thing? Well, they aren't afraid of Republicans because the Republicans are weak, but they're also very, very desperate. And it seems like at this point, it's all or nothing. Someone was making a point this morning in one of the lectures I overheard or one of our email exchanges how, you know, they don't have COVID anymore. They don't have these other things to try to rig the election. So they're resorting to imprisoning the top candidate of the Republican Party, or at least indicting him. The Wall Street Journal wrote over the weekend, Merrick Garland's Mar-a-Lago warrant gambit. They write, but it's a little much to hear him lecture, this is Garland, the country that it's beyond the pale to criticize the FBI. After the Russia collusion fraud, the Steele dossier con, the misleading FISA request for the Carter Page warrants, and the Robert Mueller whitewash of all of that, there are plenty of reasons for Americans to take a don't trust but verify attitude to the Bureau. This isn't disdain for the rule of law, it's well-earned skepticism. By sanctioning the Mar-a-Lago search, Mr. Garland has broken a political norm that has stood for 232 years. He had better have enough evidence to justify it in the end, or he will have unleashed political forces and a legal precedent that Democrats, as much as Donald Trump, may come to regret. And then you know the game is given away by the head of the National Archives, the guy that Jesse Waters was talking about a couple days ago. You saw them taking out those boxes and said, hey, those are mine. Contacted the DOJ and said, hey, you got to look into what's in those boxes. I think they're taking away classified material. Fox News over the weekend. National Archives official who notified DOJ and Trump probe declined to do the same over Clinton emails. The official who triggered the federal probe into former President Donald Trump's handling of classified documents opted against doing the same concerning Hillary Clinton's email scandal. Obviously one-sided. We all would have known that just from reading the bio about that guy. I think his name was Ferrero. But Hillary Clinton here, and a lot of people will make this analogy, well, how come the Republicans now are so upset about the FBI going after Donald Trump, but they weren't upset about them going after Hillary Clinton? It's totally different scandals. I shouldn't even call the Trump thing a scandal. It's scandalous how they're treating him. He's the president. He has the power to declassify all of those things. And maybe if he took something he wasn't supposed to, he handed it back to them in January of this year. So maybe he grabbed some things that they weren't supposed to take out of there. Hey, call the guy up. Can you bring that back in? Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't need those nuclear secrets. Hillary Clinton set up a private server that functioned outside of the firewalls and the guardrails of the federal government, which she knew was illegal. Jim Comey admitted that she shared classified information over that server. They admitted there was no way to know if that server was compromised or what sort of things were picked up by foreign adversaries or what sort of things were leaked. And then when Hillary got caught, she took the bleach bit and the hammers and started smashing the thing up. It's not even the same. But then this guy, Ferrero, who sees Donald Trump take the white banker's boxes out of the White House, doesn't raise an eyebrow about Hillary Clinton smashing those things that belong in the presidential record, and there are records of her emailing Barack Obama off of that server, doesn't say, hey, all of that stuff is part of the Presidential Records Act, and we need it back. Doesn't raise that issue at all. They know not to touch Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. They're afraid, like Mr. Fleury brings out, in America Under Attack. Wanted to write or talk about this letter that was written by Mark Milley, the head of the Joint Chiefs oversees the U.S. military. Now, this was from The New Yorker. This was published on August 8th. The article is titled Inside the War Between Trump and His Generals. And in this article, they publish Milley's resignation letter. But Mark Milley, remember, did not resign. But in June of 2020, he really wanted to. And this, they published a letter that he wrote but did not send. And Milley said, this is addressed to Donald Trump. I can no longer faithfully support and execute your orders as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I believe that you have made a concerted effort over time to politicize the United States military. I thought I could change that. So here he is there all along. He's in that position to work against Donald Trump, and he thinks that that is righteous of him to admit. He thinks he's going to be viewed by the historians as this martyr for the cause, to stay within the administration, to stand up against Donald Trump. Milley wrote, "You are using the military to create fear in the minds of the people, and we are trying to protect the American people." He says, it is my deeply held belief that you are ruining the international order. Talks about the order set up after World War II. And then he says to Trump, in fact, you subscribe to many of the principles that we fought against. Talking about the United States and the Allies fighting Adolf Hitler. Milley says, and I cannot be a party to that. It is with deep regret that I hereby submit my letter of resignation. So here's this guy, you know, just his sob story, and he's not smart at all. I don't know why he was ever in that position or why President Trump allowed him to stay there for as long as he did. Admitting that everything you do violates my ethical code. Okay, leave. Well, no, I have to stay here to stop you. I mean, how arrogant. And like Mr. Fleury says in America Under Attack, that is treason. Nobody elected Mark Milley. Donald Trump was on the ballot. Sadly, he didn't have very good judgment in the people that he surrounded himself with. But how arrogant for these generals to treat the president of the United States that way. This is another one from the New York Times. You know, Milley just says, you know, even though everything I'm doing violates my moral principles, I have to stay here to protect America. Just like Peter Strzok, hey, I'm in a position to do something about it, and I'm going to save America. Never mind all of those people that voted for him. Never mind what the people wanted. This isn't about democracy. It's bigger than democracy. It's about me saving America. New York Times, August 11th, 2022. This article is titled The Poisoned Relationship Between Trump and the Keepers of U.S. Secrets. Just that headline alone is so audacious. Donald Trump is the head of all of the U.S. intelligence agencies. They're all part of the executive branch. Congress doesn't have an NSA. The judicial branch does not have a CIA. All of these agencies answer to Donald Trump, the president of the United States. Here they are. The keepers of the U.S. secrets. Well, they're there to protect the United States, not the president. And what the president knows, just what we decide he needs to know. This article. This is the New York Times. Mr. Trump's behavior led to such mistrust between intelligence agencies that officials who gave him classified briefings occasionally erred on the side of withholding some sensitive details from him. It has long been common practice for the CIA, blah, 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 to not give information to presidents. But Douglas London, who served as a top CIA counterterrorism official during the Trump administration, said that officials were even more cautious about what information they provided Mr. Trump because some saw the president himself as a security risk. They withheld details from the president of the United States. Have you ever heard of Douglas London before? I haven't. I certainly don't think he was on the ballot in 2016. Anybody vote for Douglas London? Well, he gets to decide what's best for you. Mr. Fleury writes in America Under Attack, these events gave us a hard look at what radical leftists are willing to do to seize power and stay in power. They have no respect for the rule of law. They believe they are above the law. Such contempt for the nation's founding principles is a grave threat to the republic. No nation can survive such lawlessness. The United States, we all agree to play by the same rules. That's the game. Whether your beliefs are left-wing or right-wing, the rules are the rules, and we all agree to play by the rules. Not these guys. They know better. You know, the rules are just for the plebs. The rules are for those little guys. The rules are for Donald Trump. They know better. They get to pick and choose which rules to break because they're the elite. They're Peter Strzok. They're Andy McCabe and James Comey. We're going to violate that rule because my judgment dictates that that's what we need to do. And that is the spirit of Antiochus. It's casting truth to the ground. And all of these people were answering to Barack Obama. I wanted to touch on this story about the Biden White House censoring commentators that spoke against their COVID narrative. One of the biggest ones, his name is Alex Berenson. We've quoted from him quite a bit on this show. He was cut off from Twitter. I believe it happened last summer. They suspended his account, and he obviously, that's one of the biggest ways that he gets publicity. And he filed a lawsuit against Twitter, and they've since had to reinstate his account. And in that lawsuit, there were a lot of discovery that came up that revealed the White House was colluding with Twitter to get him pushed off of the platform. Now, the reason this is a big deal is companies do have leeway to say, well, hey, we're not guaranteed, it's our company, we're going to let on what we want to let on. Now, there are some other stipulations that factor into that. But the federal government cannot violate your free speech. So what happened in this case was the federal government reached out to Twitter and said, hey, you should be censoring him. Now, that opens up a whole new can of worms. Well, is Twitter now an arm of the federal government and is now violating people's constitutional rights? Berenson says, in a White House meeting in April 2021, 4 months before Twitter suspended my account, the company faced one really tough question about why Alex Berenson hasn't been kicked off from the platform, a Twitter employee writes. So they're meeting with the White House. Here are these social media elites colluding with the White House, deciding who's allowed to speak and who isn't. These Twitter employees said, they really wanted to know about Alex Berenson, talking about the White House. Andy Slavitt, who is one of Biden's top advisors, suggested that they had seen data visualization that had showed he, Alex Berenson, was the epicenter of disinformation that radiated outwards to the persuadable public. Now, Twitter looked at Berenson's tweets and said he's not violating our Twitter rules. Those are pretty extreme as it is. But the White House came in and said, hey, this guy needs to be off. And Twitter followed, probably fearing that the Biden White House would pass some executive order that would eliminate their privileges, their immunity from certain laws. The Wall Street Journal says, Twitter is a private company, but evidence of a direct connection between White House pressure and Twitter censorship bolsters the argument that social media platforms can be sued as state actors for restricting speech in violation of the First Amendment. And again, in America Under Attack, Mr. Fleury writes about Obama colluding with platforms like Facebook. I mean, it was Michelle Obama that went to Zuckerberg and said, take Donald Trump off. And Zuckerberg just quietly went and did it. They won't stand up to the Obamas. This is America Under Attack. Mr. Fleury says, consider it. The radicals control everything: education, the news, media, entertainment, technology, spy agencies, and now much of the federal government. They can protect lawless rioters and steal an election at the same time they block your free speech for saying that the election was stolen. They impeached President Trump even after he left the White House in an attempt to block him from ever holding office again. Meanwhile, they are rewarding people at the very center of the corruption, like Peter Strzok, with high-paying jobs and back pay. This is the way things work in the swamp. They have the power and the control. How can you win against that? How can you win if they rig the election itself? Look at how leftists are now using their power in the media, technology companies, and social media to silence anyone who disagrees with them. They are clamping down on free speech and trampling the supreme law of the land. You won't get that sort of analysis from anywhere else. And why is that there? Because it's based on Bible prophecy. I mean, how do you fight back against this when they control all the levers of power? And God performed a miracle there. In Donald Trump's election, he saved Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. And you see that in so many ways. As much as tough as these people are and as willing as they are to fight, there are just things that happen that are inexplicable. I see that a lot with the Supreme Court. Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying, you know, just 6 weeks before the election. Donald, no one controls that. You can't explain these events. You can't explain where they're going without America Under Attack. And this attack, again, manifests itself in the Inflation Reduction Act. Mr. Fleury, I just picked up a couple lines from his lecture this morning. He said they are trying to destroy the economy. They're trying to sink the dollar and ruin the economy, talking about this Inflation Reduction Act. Even CBS over the weekend, they ran this headline: one thing the Inflation Reduction Act may not do, lower inflation. Well, that's a bit Orwellian. They named it the Inflation Reduction Act. They just repackaged their climate change agenda. CBS says the Inflation Reduction Act is aimed at tackling a host of problems, from climate change to catching tax cheats, but there's one issue it may not solve: reducing inflation. A lot of people were making this joke over the weekend because the Biden administration, Joe Biden said it, Kamala Harris said it, Karine Jean-Pierre, the French girl, said it too. Zero inflation. It's gone. Zero inflation. And then a lot of Republicans came out and said, okay, well, if you have zero inflation, why do we need the Inflation Reduction Act now? And Biden, I believe he's going to sign it this week. He was on vacation, had to take a vacation the weekend of the Trump raid. He's in South Carolina all week, hasn't had time to sign this thing. I bet he's just itching to get back there so he can sign this. This article talks about how even if it does what they say it will, their claim about it reducing inflation, it won't happen for many, 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 many more years. And people need relief now. And you see what these spokespeople are coming out and saying, and they're so... no one's that disconnected from the pulse of the public. I mean, I'll play some clips here in just a minute. Granholm getting out there, this energy secretary, this will provide tremendous relief to families because, well, you'll get a tax credit when you install that new EV charger in your garage. Great. I'm not even going to get into it. You need 60 grand or whatever to buy that car. There's plenty of other things that are more pressing, but then they get out there and say, oh, it's tremendous relief. If you spend $50,000 to put solar panels on your roof, you'll get a 30% tax credit. As if the timing wasn't perfect, part of the bill provides a $7,500 tax credit for people buying electric vehicles. All those rich people, get the tax credit. Tax credit's funded by Joe Schmo, taxpayer. But then day of, well, I guess it hasn't been signed yet, but last week, CNN runs the article, Ford raises price of electric F-150 by $8,500. Ford on Thursday will once again begin taking orders for its popular F-150 Lightning electric pickup truck, but this time the base model of the pickup will cost about $7,000 more than before. Isn't that perfect? There's your tax credit, and they have to bump up the price because it's more expensive to produce these trucks now. Part of the reason it's getting more expensive is because of the Inflation Reduction Act and the fact that it raises taxes on manufacturers for things like methane emissions. So now when they go to produce these electric trucks, which you look at that production and you can't get away from fossil fuels, you know, those giant dump trucks driving in the lithium mines or the cobalt mines have to run on fuel. You can't run a truck that big on a battery. And those companies are going to be penalized because of their methane emissions. So then that creates another tax, and that's just passed on to the consumer now in the item being more expensive. Listen to Energy Secretary Granholm in an interview over the weekend. Well, first I'll just start with, this is Brianna Keller at CNN calling out Granholm over this Inflation Reduction Act. This is clip six.
When you're talking about a tax credit on solar panels, electric vehicles, energy efficient appliances and windows. People who are spending money on those things aren't the ones who are living paycheck to paycheck and inflation is hitting the most.
So basically you passed a bill that doesn't do anything for anybody that needs help. I was trying to think of an analogy, and you think of someone who's drowning off of a dock, and then you're standing there with a life preserver and you can throw that to them, but we're gonna wait on the life preserver. That other lifeguard ran and got a jet ski, so we're just gonna wait for him to come around and he's gonna pick you up. Trust me, it'll be way better when the jet ski arrives, but I'm just gonna stand here with this life preserver and watch you drown. Now that's giving a lot more credit to the alternative energy agenda, because they are not the jet ski. But you get my point. They're just standing there watching people drown and say, just hold on a little while longer. If you can suffer a little more, we got something really good coming for you. And that's all just propaganda, because they know it's not good. They know that it's hurting the economy more. That's the point, to drive this economy into the ground. This is Granholm in that same interview, clip seven.
There are three independent studies, though, that show it's actually going to have a minimal effect on inflation, and that many parts of the bill obviously don't even take effect until next year, some years later than that. So what specifically will this bill do to lower costs for Americans right now?
First of all, immediately, people will be able to lower the fuel costs in their home. There's a 30% tax credit that you can claim in 2022 for installing energy efficient windows, heat pumps, energy efficient appliances. That is right away. And on top of that, of course, if citizens want to install solar panels on their roofs so that they can generate their own power, that's another 30% tax credit. And of course, there's the tax credits that are at the dealership for the automotive sector, for electric vehicles. So, and if you install an electric vehicle charging station in your home, you can also get a tax credit.
Don't you love that? You got to spend money to save money. My washing machine and dryer work just fine. But if I want to really boost my savings, I'm going to go spend $2,000 to get the eco-friendly washer and dryer, and then I'm going to save 30%. Oh, okay, well, you spent, I'm not going to try to do the math, over $1,500 more than you were planning to do, or planning to spend. It would be $600. Why am I doing math on here? Anyway, you're not saving any money. I don't know what it costs to put solar panels on your roof, but here, people are still struggling to get baby formula. You know, the price of fuel is not cheap compared to what it was under Donald Trump. There are many, many, many more pressing issues, but then the regime gets on TV and says, you put those solar panels on the roof, you're going to save 30%. You buy that even more expensive electric vehicle, we'll give you a tax credit for putting in that charger in your garage. These are the things you really need right now. Another one, Jonathan Carl, to his credit, calls out this bill for what it is in this interview with the White House spokeswoman. This is clip number 8.
It's called the Inflation Reduction Act. But the Congressional Budget Act Office, which is nonpartisan, said that there would be a negligible impact on inflation this year and barely impact inflation at all next year. I mean, isn't it almost Orwellian? How can you call it Inflation Reduction Act when the nonpartisan experts say it's not going to?
So I appreciate that. I appreciate the question.
That's a good question. Isn't it Orwellian to call it the Inflation Reduction Act when it doesn't have anything to do with reducing inflation? Good question. I really appreciate that question. She's thinking hard over there. Andrew Miller at thetrumpet.com writes, if the Inflation Reduction Act fought inflation, Democrats would not have to lie to get it passed. If the Inflation Reduction Act did anything to fight pollution, Democrats probably would not have to lie. But since the Inflation Reduction Act is set to create inflation in the name of subsidizing electric cars and hiring more IRS agents, Democrats are lying through their teeth to get their socialist agenda pushed through Congress before elections. The only way you can explain such rampant deceit in government is that the American Republic is being attacked by a group of socialist revolutionaries who have hijacked its government from the inside. To understand how this happened, request America Under Attack. Well, we don't have a ton of time left in the show. I can touch on one of these smaller stories that I had in the news stack here. This was a tweet by CBS over the weekend, and I thought this was relevant because we just had our summer educational program. Their tweet is titled, or they write, "Today's children are 30% less aerobically fit than their parents were at their age, a new study found. The study points to climate change and rising temperatures adversely affecting childhood obesity as children spend less time exercising outdoors." Here's a clip of CBS reporting on that study, clip 9.
The new study showing how climate change, specifically higher temperatures, is making our children more inactive and more obese. The study published in a journal Temperature found today's children are 30% less aerobically fit than their parents were at their age. Fewer children are reaching the World Health Organization's recommendation of 60 minutes of exercise a day. Now, listen, it has been a lot hotter, and the weather has been crazy. But I think it also has to do with technology, you know?
Yeah.
It's one thing not to go outside, but these kids don't go outside because they can stay inside, be on their phones, play video games, and be social without having to go outside and be social.
Even CBS is not buying it. The obesity rates are high because climate change, because people are driving their fossil fuel cars, and that's keeping kids from playing outside because it's so hot, and now they're obese, and they can't breathe as well as their parents. Now, that stat is probably true. But even as those hosts right there are saying, I don't think it's because it's hot out. I think it's because they've got tablets and iPhones, and they don't need to go interact with kids. I think a lot of people, especially in my generation, observed that happening as the internet became more ubiquitous across devices. Kids just started playing outside, and then you have this weird era through the 2000s where they're just becoming more reclusive and staying inside. And they're, of course, climate change is driving this. Well, I thought that story was interesting to reference because in a message over the weekend, Mr. Joel Hilliker referred to an article titled "The Perils of Screen Addiction" and really encouraged parents and all of the brethren listening to read that article. I thought that clip lined in well with that. Those hosts see it too. The Perils of Screen Addiction. That article was by Mr. Brad McDonald. Well, that is all we have time for on today's show. Mr. Stephen Fleury will be back tomorrow. If you have any comments for the show, you can send those to td@thetrumpet.com and request any literature, calling our number 1-866-930-3024. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.